Welcome to Cass Lab Radio. My name is Cass Eugene, and I will be your gracious host today. And I say gracious because I just want to start today by saying thank you to a lot of you. Yesterday, I posted on my Instagram at Casslandia. Links are wherever you're listening to this, there's links somewhere. I received news. And I wanted to share that news in an attempt to be transparent. You see, I have an LLC, the Cass Lab, but that LLC, it was meant to be dissolved when my nonprofit incorporation went through. I have a team. I have four individuals who are gung-ho, ready to go, and when the Secretary of State sent back my paperwork, denied that I cannot have a 501c3. I cannot have a nonprofit. I cannot be the guy who signs the paperwork and says, this is my nonprofit. When it said that, I felt like I let my team down. And to be honest, it's a cascading effect. I let a lot more people down. And that, excuse the French, it fucked with me so hard. I know, people like to see black men as really strong and macho, but there are times when I just need to sit the fuck down and just let the sadness out. You know what that means. Anyone seen the movie Let's Go to Prison? I remember when I was younger, I saw that, and he's like, crying lets the sadness out. Laugh, laugh, joke, joke. But especially as someone who lives with bipolar disorder, there are times when, like, you know, just letting it out keeps me from going through 6 hours of trying to hold it in, and then it surprises me and just comes out at the inappropriate time. So when I got my news, when I saw the ramifications and the obstacles that this denial caused me, I sat down and I had a moment. I was supposed to be recording this yesterday. Instead, I'm recording it today. I mean, I have multiple ways of recording. I could do it on my phone. I could do it on a laptop with the microphone. I could do all kind of ways. I can do all kind of things with a audio podcast. And I like that flexibility because there are times when I can't exactly say when the message will be right. But I knew yesterday it wouldn't be right because that loss was massive. And then I stopped and I opened my eyes and I said, bro, you haven't lost anything. I have a 30-day plan and I always refresh it every 30 days. And right now I am writing a book. We'll get into that next episode. I am doing a lot of things with my team and nothing has changed other than maybe some, I mean, if it's a nonprofit versus a for-profit business model, of course, some things got to move around there. And that's something that I can do. But to be told I can't have a 501c3 because of my past history and knowing why I have that past history, I was devastated. And what I wanted was to have a company and an agency that was transparent. Because I'm sick and tired of people trying to tell my story for me. Guys, there's a book coming out. I'm not sure when the author will be done. But let's just say some of the more sensitive topics of my life, this person sees it as a sensationalized portion of who I am. And rather than even engage me about it, they accidentally kind of let it slip that they're writing a book and I'm a character in that book. And I was so disappointed. I'm like, damn, I literally just lost a confidant because I'll never tell you anything ever again because you're trying to tell my story without even asking me. You're writing a fantasy about who you think I am. And over time, this company of mine is meant to empower and support people. But a lot of it is through how we peer support specialists say, through our recovery story. Through my recovery story. For those of you who are not indoctrinated to who I am a black man who lives with bipolar disorder in Atlanta, Georgia. That statement alone makes me an outcast amongst my own people. It also makes me an outcast amongst those who are not my people. When I'm, you know, I used to live with a white family for like a year, you know, and every single day there was actually a person in the house who is afraid of black people. I will walk in one door, and she's coming in the other door. She would shut the door, run to the other side of the house. And I'm like, damn, really? Big house, not a lot of interaction that needed to happen. But over time, I just wondered, would that dissipate? And her guards was up so hard that it's like, yo, I have no intention of trying to teach you or trying to, no, I don't have time to teach you about blackness, woman, right? So as I do what I do, as I go through my mission, as I struggle, as I thrive, as I fail, as I achieve, as all of these things happen to me, I'm still seeing the world for what it is. And today, I want to really bring home something important to you. And it's that I wanted a 501c3. I wanted a nonprofit so that I wouldn't have to make my friends ask me certain questions. Many times in business, I'll have someone ask me, because they know I'm bipolar, well, how do I know you're not manic? How do I know that this is going to last? You're not going to flake? How do I know that the money and the time that we invest in your agency, how do we know that you're not going to be bipolar? And this is always from people who usually don't understand. And there are times when it's from individuals who they just are trying to understand. But a lot of times when it comes to the companies and the individuals on the outside, they look in and they see, ooh, black, bipolar. Ooh, he even got a misdemeanor on his record. Ooh, no, this is too risky. I'm scared. And so to be honest, to offset it, I have a business associate who oftentimes will accompany me with, you know, he will come with me to meetings, virtual, because he's in Pennsylvania. I'm in Atlanta, you know. This is an old Navy buddy of mine, Eric Rossetti. I love this guy, like his whole family, like just good people, you know, just kind-hearted. And a lot of times he'll just jump in like, hey, skirt. Yeah, we've been friends for a while. So I don't really allow him to do like these business meetings if he's in a state where he needs to be sitting down. I'm a dreamer. I know that. I refuse to make the world create a cold-hearted monster named Cass Eugene. I refuse that. And that's what you guys have been asking me. You guys have been asking me a long time to become this cold-hearted monster. Now, I've been told that, you know, hey, you know, because I ain't gonna lie, because of the way I look and my height and my tattoos, and hey, maybe you shouldn't, you know, take any female clients because their men are always gonna be insecure and mad. And so I say, okay, cool. So I'll just go ahead and cut out 80% of my clientele because of the fear of what the man is going to think. No, fuck that. Let me help change the mindset. So today we are having a talk about transparency. And I wanted this 501c3 so that I could be transparent without you having to ask me certain questions. I wanted you to, all right, look, so if someone, Girl Scouts, if you gave $4 for a box of cookies, those cookies are to help young girls to grow into young women who have financial understanding, they have pride in themselves. You know, the Red Cross, another organization, it's so many nonprofits that I can just start listing. You don't do a fact check on these individuals. You don't do a fact check on the entire company. You know that, hey, if you have that 501c3, like all corporations who, you know, if I request $500,000 from you, you know, to help me sponsor, you know, 50 kids in this program, if I have the 501c3, the corporation says, hey, you know what? He has, you know, the paperwork and the go-ahead from the government. So, yeah, we'll go ahead and give him our money. But we also have some things that we need as well. So by the time it gets down to the consumer level, which you guys will be the consumer level, you will say, okay, great. Well, he got funding from someone and the government, you know, has allowed him to operate. So you know what? I trust this agency. Well, for what it's worth, a for-profit agency doesn't operate the same as a nonprofit, but I'm going to find a way to make it happen because now I kind of have to. That's if I want my name on it. I do want something I can pass down to my daughter, and that's what the Cast Lab is all about. But the Cast Lab is mine. The Cast Lab was created because when I used to call it the Cast Cave, right? The Cast Layer. I used to, like, when I say I isolated, some of you who are listening haven't heard from me in like a year. And you guys were like heavy on my social media, right? Other people who don't really check in on me haven't heard from me for years. But instead of a layer, I started to create. And all of a sudden, a laboratory kind of, you know, sprung up. So I was able to literally take my ideas, refine them into now what are products. So I wanted to bring aromatherapy to my friends because I needed aromatherapy for myself. I needed that peace of mind that my mind is always working. And when it's time for me to settle down, it can be hard sometimes. But the smell response of the brain, the olfactory response, the smell response of the brain is automatic. So if I put a little lavender in your nostrils, it has a calming effect. Maybe there are people who don't like the smell of lavender. Maybe there are people who the calming effect doesn't happen, you know, for. However, the consensus is lavender helps calm. So if I was to create something like a bracelet that had a porous environment, like lava rocks, that's made from magma, so on and so forth. It doesn't form uniform. You know, there are holes and things like that. If I was to create an aromatherapy profile and add it to this bracelet, I now have a mindfulness tool that I can use at any moment. There are times when I'm like maybe a little stressed before I go to bed and I try to do a little meditation or things like that to kind of calm things down. But there are times when I know I'm stressed. And so sometimes, like with your deodorant, guys, just so you know, is more effective if you put it on the night before and you wake up and you do your thing because it had time to soak into your skin. Same thing with the essential oils. If I go to bed, I douse. You can use 2 or 3 drops, but I douse because I have all the equipment. I douse my Remind for Aromatherapy bracelet, usually the Jade Dragonfly. We'll talk about that later. I use this essential oil as I go to sleep. So sometimes even if sleep is finding it hard, you know, if I'm having a hard time finding sleep, I will place my arm closer to my nose and I'll be able to smell this calm lavender. But I am extra, so I added in some rose and some lang lang. Both of those are flowers. Ah, super sweet, right? Cool. Let's cut that with a little frankincense and some myrrh and some cedar wood. Did I just give you the recipe? Maybe. I'm sure somebody could come up with a combination that works well for them. But literally, I have to batch these because there are times when the smell is not exactly the same. I've nailed it in now, but you know, if you want to try to, you know, steal the recipe, go ahead. I implore you, please do so, because I'm not a jeweler. I'm not a smellologist. I know that's not the word, but I'm not a smellologist, right? I am here to provide products and resources that will help the masses. And the beauty of how I do business, of how I do life, is that I take from my internal battery, the thing that I can recharge, I take from that, make products from that. So that keeps me away from emotional burnout. So I can keep doing this all day long. Like your boy Captain America, hey, I can do this all day long. I know. No, we ain't got no Marvel fans out here. I mean, I like DC more these days, it seems, but what, we ain't got no Marvel fans? All right, fine, I'll move forward. All right, so I talked about myself for a minute, about 15 minutes, And I want to spend the next few moments talking about some things that have come across my desk, how it can help you, and what you can do going forward with the information I'm about to give you. Essentially, couples therapy. I don't give relationship advice. Everyone saw how my marriage imploded. Everyone saw it. I didn't get the chance to even speak on it. Like, everyone saw it, and it was just a sensationalized thing for them. I have certain friends that say they learned about my, marriage failing because they saw some things that was out there from another friend, and another friend gave it to them. So I was trending amongst the people that I know. But no one ever really checked in on me. I lost the love of my life. I intertwined this woman into every fiber of my being. And my friends know that. They saw the pedestal that I put her on. And a lot of people just didn't care. And so it really hurt me to have to go through these things. However, I do have a responsibility to the mental health community to bring you the best information possible. And so even though my marriage failed, I can still give you the lessons from that failure that hopefully will keep you moving forward. And I have three lessons, and here they are. Communicate clearly. Treat love gently. Forgive. If it's true love, you should be able to do all of these things. I don't care what offense has happened. You can forgive these things. Let me give you an example before I go forward. Have you ever seen a movie where ex-wife, ex-husband, they're estranged, crazy event happens? I can't think right now. Maybe War of the Worlds? I don't think so. But an event happens and it brings those who are estranged together. They must survive. And throughout that survival, they rekindle their relationship. Very romanticized, of course. However, there are times when, sometimes when you remove your pride and ego, you can move forward. So I'm speaking to you today about relationships because my marriage failed horribly. And it required me, it gave me a record, and it required me to go to these classes. And in these classes, there's a bunch of men. And I get a chance to speak just like everyone else. It's kind of on Zoom. But I get a chance to speak. And after speaking, after a couple of weeks, people have started to identify me as someone who can possibly help them. Because they're seeking ways to save their relationships. They're seeking ways to better themselves. And these individuals are why I exist. I have a 30-minute free consultation. Hit me up on Instagram. That's one of the best ways to get to me these days. I'm doing a lot of business there for right now. But a lot of individuals, a lot of men that I know are trying to save relationships that have so many moving parts that they're coming to me and it's like, hey, can you do couples therapy for us, man? And imposter syndrome, that feeling pops up so fast. Like, no, I'm not your guru. No. However, being a life coach, being a peer support specialist, I know that the area that I personally have the most problem in, that I reject and say, no, I can't do it, that's probably the area that I need to pay some more attention to because there's things to be found there. So today I'm going to go ahead and wrap this up, guys. Today I want to let you know that in the world of mental health, when it comes to bipolar disorder, let me give you a quick stat. Maybe it can make it more prevalent or more relevant to your life right now. So in America, 40% of marriages fail. I think that number has gone down from like 52% since like 2003, maybe. I can't remember my numbers right now, but 90% of bipolar marriages fail. 90%. When you walk across that motherfucking aisle or walk down the aisle, you jump the broom, do whatever, there's a 90% chance that everyone who is witnessing this will also witness a divorce. Talk about fighting against the odds. I knew this going in. I knew it would be an uphill fight going in. And so we tried lots of different things. Lots of different things. And some things worked, some things didn't work. The biggest problem that I had was that I wasn't established yet. So men, I'm speaking to the men right now. If you're not established and you're leaning on your woman, there's going to be a little friction there. But it's okay. If you are able to communicate clearly, love gently, and forgive, this can still be a happy marriage. Now, I say that from a fantastical standpoint. I don't know for a fact, but just from the successful marriages that I'm witnessing, from the friends' marriages that I've got a chance to be a part of. I have a good friend who got married, and I saved the seeds. Him and his wife was giving out seeds at their marriage, and it said, "Let love grow." I've planted those seeds. All right, you're supposed to take one wedding gift. I took three of them because nobody else was taking the seeds. All right, fine, whatever. I do gardening. That's my thing. And like, as I travel and do things, sometimes I just put those seeds. It's been a year now, and those seeds are still growing. African daisies, beautiful. Beautiful. So when I get a chance, like some new ones are growing, I will show you. But when you get a chance to let your love grow and treat it appropriately, you can have a successful relationship. But it's not that easy. Sometimes you need to have the ability to communicate clearly. So when it comes to what you want as a man, if you are established, if you aren't established, your needs need to still be communicated. Once you get to hiding things, folding things over, double talking, gaslighting, when these things enter into your relationship, they are now a new variable and they change the game, and your partner may now realize that the game has changed. And so it's unfair to that partner, right? So that's why I put communicate clearly in the beginning. You guys can see I use a lot of mouth minutes. You can imagine that I have used a lot of mouth minutes in my ex-relationship. But to communicate clearly is to make sure that you're trying to be transparent. No double talking. Hey, look, this is the thing that's going on in my mind right now. I just want to talk to you. Now, the reason why I have, at the very end, forgiveness is because sometimes when people hear what you're thinking, I can tell you right now, about 80% of the problems in my marriage was whenever I opened my mouth about what it was that I was thinking. It wasn't things that were happening. It wasn't the reality of whatever. It was my mentality and my mindset. And so when I would have these discussions, I felt like some level of forgiveness should be there, as in we didn't grow up the same. We have two different perspectives. I have a mental disorder that shifts my mindset. Guys, ladies, my woman would say to me, "I feel like you don't even like me sometimes." And I used to be taken aback, like, how? Everything, every fiber of my being is for you. But with bipolar disorder, certain words come out. You don't care. If you define exactly what care means in the moment, sure, hey, you don't care about this exact thing right here, right now, blah, 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 blah. And that might be true. But to say things like you don't care and then to just storm out, that person who you just said it to doesn't understand that you're talking about something very specific, perhaps. Or you might not even put it into a way where it's very specific. So communication errors will happen, and forgiveness needs to be a common part of your relationship language. But the one part that I think that makes all the difference is step two. Step one, step three, you know, those things are kind of to sandwich in this major fact. Treat love gently. Be kind, Your lover, your partner should be someone you want to be nice to. And whenever you find attitudes or other things creeping up, that's negative relationship self-talk. Now, I don't know all the ways to deal with that, and I will start researching that, you know, so in about a year's time, come find me, and perhaps we can talk more on relationships. But I'm just letting you guys know from my perspective, how you can possibly start to engage some really difficult concepts in your relationship. I hear it all the time. People come to me, the guys come to me a lot with questions of, you know, sometimes they look at other girls. You know, they see, you know, things that they like, but they don't want to like them. You know, how do you get over that? Or, you know, she's doing this and I want those things to stop. How do I get over that? You know, like these kind of questions should not be posed to me right now. I will help you find the resources. And on that note, I have only one for you today. Her name is Dr. Tracy Marks. That's T-R-A-C-E-Y. You can go on YouTube, look her up. She speaks a lot about mental health, bipolar disorder, ADHD, different. She's a clinical psychologist. And in her practice, she has, I saw two different videos. One is about ADHD and how to talk to your partner who doesn't listen. And the other one is about four coping skills when you're stuck together. So like quarantine, like she made this video during quarantine, but they're still relevant in today's world. You don't have to have ADHD to understand what it's like to have a partner who's not listening, right? You don't have to have the full-blown mental diagnosis as part of your military jacket. Okay, I'm sorry. What does your permanent record, what do civilians call their paperwork in life? I don't know. Somebody let me know, okay? You don't have to have these labels on you to take her advice. But I point you in her direction, and I pray that she leads you towards some sort of peace. For the rest of you guys, I kind of got a little off topic today, you know, but I wanted to just really be, you know, really clear and transparent today that I am thankful for every single business associate, friend, just people on the outside who liked my post, who, you know, I was talking about the struggles that I'm going through in my company. I want to thank everyone who has listened to this podcast so far. I want to thank Jason from last week. He is our giveaway winner. He receives the Knights of Solace bracelet, Remindful Aromatherapy bracelet. Love it, love it, love it. He's a prior customer. Love that you guys are still sticking around. I love it. I just want you guys to know I love it. Okay, cool. So as I let you go today, just remember one thing. Any relationship that you want to get into, just remember, communicate clearly, treat love gently, and find some forgiveness. We're all human people. That sounds like an oxymoron. So we're all humans, comma, people. So do what you got to do. Find the love that's out there for you and treat it well. All right, guys, I'm out. I'm 5 minutes over. I love you. And we will actually talk not next week on Tuesday, but tomorrow. My little 6-minute formats are going to be blasted in the mornings. I like to do these longer formats at the end of the day so you can just listen, relax, do whatever. And just like that, I'm out.